Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our question and answer series, Dr. Bloom was about to start answering a question concerning his hatred for Calvinists. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom finishes answering this question.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Well, I answered him, we do not hate Calvinists. We do not hate homosexuals, drunkards, drug addicts, Catholics, or Muslims. However, we hate their sin and false doctrine. We really pray that all of those I've read and more will get saved. Psalms 119, 104, it says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Now, he said he hated every false way, not every false person. But the Holy Spirit put these words for David to write, I hate every false way. In Psalm 119, verse 128, therefore, I esteem thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Again, there are things that God hates. And we just read in our last question, Galatians 4:16, and again, it applies here. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Well, you that listen to this broadcast on a regular basis, you know that we just go through the Bible verse by verse. And when it goes against philosophies that people have had, doctrines they have that are not biblical, they get upset. Now, my friend, I don't hate Calvinists, but the doctrine of Calvinism is false. Therefore, I hate that doctrine. But I love the people. I've got people I know. I think they would consider me a friend, and I'd consider them a friend, but we don't have the fellowship. We don't have a partnership. We don't share the same local church, so to speak, because they're that way. And certainly, if one was in my church, he's not going to be in my pulpit. He's not going to teach. He's not going to have those opportunities because he holds to those false doctrines. And I can't let somebody with false doctrine get up and teach. And that, although I can love them and be nice to them when I'm around them, be kind to them, but I do state where I stand, and those people know where I stand on those false doctrine. So we don't hate Calvinists, but we do hate their false doctrine. Just like we don't hate Muslims, we hate their false doctrine as well as their sin. And on we could go about a host of other ones. Now, by the way, let me just say this and make it very, very clear. Sometimes you'll have the Mormons or you'll have the Jehovah Witnesses or the other groups that come up to your door, and they'll sit there and tell you how wrong you are, all that. But again, they have their other books or other things, and they just can't hit you with the Bible. And they have to twist the scriptures, wrest the scriptures, and they do that to their own destruction. So again, let me just encourage you to understand, you don't hate the people, but you do hate their works. You do hate their sin. And God hated some things. Learn to hate what God hates and to love what God loves. God hates sin, but he loves the souls of men in such a way that his love is to bring them to repentance and faith. And that's the love that we should have for lost men, for backslid men, is to have that love that seeks to reach out and bring them back and bring them into the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. All right, that was a shorter question. Let's go on now to our next one. And we'll have Brother Jerry read that question to us now.
Dr. Bloom, I'm a Sunday school teacher. In preparing a lesson for Sunday school on James 5, verses 13 through 16, I read Dr. John Phillips' book. He implies that this could be a result of being sick by church discipline. Sometimes one is told that if he is not healed, it is a lack of faith. Dr. Bloom, what is this passage teaching us?
Okay, this is the fifth question. This one is a Sunday school teacher. And they were preparing a Sunday school lesson on James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And he says that he read Dr. John Phillips' book, and he implied that that man that was sick there in James 5 might have been a result of church discipline. Well, that's a possibility. And sometimes when someone is told if he's not healed, he lacked faith. So this person asked me what I thought on that. Now, I'm always a little bit nervous about this because I don't know if the teacher was just a regular Sunday school teacher or a pastor or something like that or something that might cause a difference in the church. So let me just read the passage and then I will go on into my answers. Now, I knew Dr. John Phillips, so he was a good man of God. He's with the Lord, but I knew him. Now it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, that's a very good passage, and it does generate some deep thought. Now, Dr. Phillips made some interesting points, and I went back to check them out. As I said, I knew he's a well-educated man. It totally surprised me that he was a member of Dr. Bobby Robertson's church in Walkertown, North Carolina. And you said, well, why did that surprise you? Brother Robertson did not go to Bible college. As a matter of fact, I don't think he went to college at all. He was an insurance salesman when he got saved. Yet, Dr. Phillips loved that church and pastor. Now, what is interesting to me is that, if I counted right, prayer is referred to in one form or another at least seven times in verses 13 through 18 of this text that I've just read to you. And one of the things that's stated there is, any among you afflicted? Now, that seems to draw the attention of most people when they look at that part. And the emphasis is more on affliction than prayer for most of us. Now, the mature Christian is prayerful at all times, but particularly in the troubles of life. Instead of griping, complaining, whining, grumbling about his situation in life, he simply takes it to the Lord and allows him to take care of it in his time and according to his will. Now, I think it is always good to read 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, when dealing with the James passage, in order to keep our mind in the fundamentals instead of fantasy that is not of God. So listen as I read 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, relates a experience of his own. He says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that were given unto me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, I find it interesting that twice there in that seventh verse that I just read, he mentioned about lest I should be exalted above measure. And so it's easy as a Christian for God's hand to be upon you and to think of yourself doing it something special and exalting yourself. And so even when the good hand of the Lord is upon us to do these things that some men say, well, boy, this is tremendous, we need to keep ourselves humble and realize everything comes from the Lord. Everything, somebody hears this broadcast and receives help. Oh, Brother Bloom, you did a great thing there. Praise God for it. No, not Brother Bloom. That was the Lord. That's the Lord. I'm just a messenger. You know, if when I was a little boy, they used to had a TV program. A guy named Michael Anthony went out for another man and gave $1 million to somebody, but they had to keep it quiet. But nonetheless, it was $1 million that he would give to somebody. Now, the program was called The Millionaire. But what I thought was interesting about it is that Michael Anthony didn't give $1 million out of his own pocket. He was just the messenger. Now, I'm sure they loved Michael Anthony, but Michael Anthony is just the messenger through whom they receive the money. And so if somebody sends to you $1 million and it goes through a messenger of some kind, and they come to your door and they knock on your door and they say, we have a message for you. We're supposed to hand deliver it. And it's $1 million from some friend or some person somewhere. Well, you don't treat that messenger as your best friend and say, all right, this is great, man. Thank you so much for what you've done for me. Boy, this is going to help me a lot, man. You deserve all the credit for what you've done. You are tremendous. No, because he's just a messenger. Well, friend, that's what we are as preachers. We're just messengers. It's God's message. The thing we have to be careful about as preachers is that we don't try to take the glory that's due unto our Lord. And it's also very important that we don't begin to think that we did do it. Okay? And so we need to learn to give glory to God always. And every one of us preachers need to be mindful of that. So again, when dealing with the James passage, in order to keep our mind in the fundamentals instead of fantasy that is not of God, is we need to keep that 2 Corinthians 12 in mind. Bodily sickness is involved, but it's not the sole source of hardships or adversities. We're not promised an easy life this side of heaven, but the Bible does tell us what to do when and if those trials come.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.